You are listening to episode number 116 of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast.
Test your might. Test your might.
Welcome to episode number 116 of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. First off, I hope you had a great Labor Day. I hope you spend time barbecuing like true Americans do. But if you're not from America, well, I hope you had a nice day anyways. Be that as it may, as always, I am your host, Iggy, a.k.a. Ben. Joining me tonight, the man who failed to complete his suicides and will thus be assigned more suicides, Mr. Brian Powers. Brian, why the fuck didn't you do your suicides?
Fuck you, Coach Chimichanga. You don't get it, man.
Of course, joining me for the man who wants to cosplay as SpongeBob SquarePants, Mr. Arnold Alfred. Arnold, welcome to the show.
Hey.
Bitches.
And of course, the man who secretly wants to be Hal Jordan, Taser. Taser, welcome to the show.
G4 TV is out of here. Woo!
You mean the show's been dead for at least the past 7 years,
that
maybe
channel
longer?
Channel has been dead for the past 7 years. Sorry to see X-Play go, because X-Play was still pretty decent, but everything else, even Attack of the Show with its lovely Olivia Munn, was garbage. What was it with dude with the car show? Holy crap! What the fuck, man? It took too long for that show, for that channel to die.
Oh, well.
Bring back Tech TV!
Damn right.
I never even watched that, you know. So I was like, when they took it away from my service, I took it away. I'm like, I don't fucking care.
Look, once it became cops, cheaters, and Bruce Lee movies, and like next to no original content.
Yeah. If I want to watch Cops, which is a great show, by the way, I just watch my local news station. They show it all the time.
Oh, you watch G4. They have it on every other show.
Do they? I don't have G4. I never had G4 for the longest time. So.
They used to show Fastlane, which was a show that died on Fox.
I don't know what that has to do with gaming at all, but whatever. And I don't know what anybody says, because I always hated their San Diego Comic-Con coverage. I never liked it.
It wasn't too bad, but
I don't get better information and better video from elsewhere.
Well, keep in mind, it's not actually dead; it's just being rebranded. So.
Yeah, to crap, and it's not gonna
it's
have
like
any...
being chopped up and then re brought it back out like a Frankenstein type deal.
Yeah, like Spike TV.
It's like lighting shit on fire. It's not gonna make it any prettier.
But it's gonna look cool for a minute, and then we realize, it's the same thing. But anyways. Despite we have taken off last week, we are the Mighty Warriors Team Marvel Podcast. We are a weekly, again, despite that we took off last week because it was a holiday, Marvel Podcast dedicated to all things Marvel, whether it's comics, video, games, TV shows, cartoons. I know Brian's looking eager for the Deadpool Merc with... Is it called Merc with the Mouth, or is it just called Deadpool?
It's just Deadpool, I think, okay. At this point.
I figured it called Deadpool Merc with the Mouth. Anything that's Marvel-related, we try to do our best to talk about it. But, first and foremost, now... We recently know about Phase 2 Marvel Studios. We know that Taser is one of his favorite teams. Guardians of the Galaxy will be getting a feature-length film. And Taser's all happy because the Cosmic's getting some love. But
Yay! The
one corner of the universe that the Marvel Cinematic Universe has yet to even... they've hinted at, but have yet to say we're doing this, is the mysticism / magical side of things. Now, apparently we have reports. These are rumors. These are not confirmed at all. So I want to keep that in mind before we get in trouble again.
What did we get in trouble for last time?
I got emails. Somebody got pissed at me. Whatever. They're not important.
West.
Yes, I said
that's
that.
What I say.
But we got there's some connections being made that Dr. Stephen Strange, formerly known as Dr. Strange, the Sorcerer Supreme, although he's not.
He
doesn't have an
Strange.
Alias. Well, he's Stephen Strange. He's Stephen Strange.
Well, it's a legal title for him because he can still practice medicine.
Well, yeah, he's technically Doctor Strange
him
in
with
both.
A scalpel because his hands are broken. Anyways, so he's it's reported. It's hands. There's rumors, speculation going around that for a while Marvel has wanted to get a Doctor Strange movie off the ground, and that now rumors are circulating that Doctor Strange will be appearing in Thor: Dark World. Now we already know that apparently the Eye of Agamotto, the little is it that glowy thingy? I'm assuming.
No, it's the giant eye-shaped thing.
I thought that was just a container, and that the actual eye was the glowy thing in the middle. Because like, there's no way Doctor Strange could wear that.
It's magic. It doesn't have to make sense.
No, I'm just saying. Like, I think it's just the orb in the middle is the eye.
What was that, Arnold?
I said it's magic. We don't have to explain it. Joe Quesada taught us that.
Exactly.
I'm saying I think the orb is the eye. I think the orb is the actual eye.
Why would he separate the two?
Maybe Odin makes a smaller container case. I don't know. But the anticipation of that, even Doctor Strange, who is rumored to be playing, the rumors are going around that it's going to be played by Viggo Mortensen. Nerds are going to know him playing for Aragorn in the Lord of the Rings trilogy, also History of Violence. I know he's done more movies, I just can't think of him right now.
It's Viggo!
He was in the movie The Road.
There you go.
He was also in Daybreak.
Yes, there you go. Viggo Mortensen, would you say he's a nerd fan favorite? Like, a lot of nerds like the guy?
I don't think so.
I dig him. I think he's great.
Yeah, so... And
yeah, it's because you want to sex him, though.
You want to sheath Aragorn's sword.
So anyways, I'm a huge Doctor Strange fan. I've been pioneering for Liam Neeson to play him, but if Viggo's the alternative, that's not exactly a bad choice. I could see him, if he cut his hair short, being sort of the asshole who then becomes noble and somewhat weird, because let's face it, the part of Doctor Strange that's also cool about him is like the fact that he's fucking weird. So if it's a cameo, I hope it's honestly not a cameo like Hawkeye, where you don't say his name, but he happens to do some hand-wavy things.
Mentioned, what the hell do you care?
No, I mean, the thing is, like, I don't want it to be a simple throwaway. And that's, again, this is just totally my fandom for Doctor Strange. I want it to be, like, I don't want him to go by the Hoary Host of Hagar and does some kind of weird thing with his hands. And like, oh, that's supposed to be Doctor Strange. I want a name. I want some kind of, like, my hands are broken. Or, you know, maybe Thor breaks his hands in the process because he gets pissed. I don't know. I just want something. If he's in fact going to be in Thor Dark Worlds, I want some kind of substance to this cameo and that, you know, more hint at phase 3, 6.2, whatever. But just the hint of the idea of Viggo playing Doctor Strange is just so enticing to me. And I don't think that whole thing is the Eye of Agamotto. I think it's just the orb, and that that thing is just a big container holding it. That's what I think. So, yes. Brian, what do you think about this?
Well, as the great philosopher Jagger once said, you can't always get what you want, Ben, okay? And I appreciate the fact
that... Is that guy still alive?
Yes.
Really? How old is he,
yeah.
100?
No.
80?
But, and look, I'll educate you later, okay? But the point of the matter here is this. You should be happy Doc Strange is getting any attention at all, let alone a possible rumored cameo. I mean, granted, the guy has his fans, as clearly evidenced by you, but... I mean, they didn't throw away Hawkeye when they gave him his cameo. They gave him a spot on the Avengers team, and he'll be getting his...
Doctor Strange is more important than Hawkeye.
Debatable. Anyway, it's just the thing with Hawkeye and Doctor Strange is they use them, they will use them eventually. They used Hawkeye, and he'll be getting his own movie, I believe, come the Phase 2, or at least he'll be getting some sort of co-headlining movie. But point of the matter is, with Doctor Strange, you know, mysticism, it's very pretty much adverse to everything we've seen so far in the Marvel Cinematic. I mean, we've had everything from, like, hardcore science to, like, pseudo-science that we don't understand yet, science fiction, science fact, whatever. So to see Doc Strange make a presence really makes me question how they're going to do it, what the extent of his powers will be, or just in general what role he will play. I mean... Because granted, Hawkeye didn't have that big a role in Thor, but in this one, where it's actual like world at war with each other, you'd think someone like Doc Strange would have to, you know, step in and say like, "Hey guys, chill the fuck out" or something.
We don't even know if he's gonna be the Sorcerer Supreme at this point.
That's true. He could just be some guy like Stephen Strange walking down the street. All of a sudden, oh hey, it's the Eye of Agamotto, and all of a sudden he knows everything. That said,
in the hospital. Thor's going to become Dr. Blake, and he's going to walk by Doctor Strange, and that's going to be it.
Hey, Stephen, good to see you, buddy.
And that's going to be it. Hey, Stephen. Hey, Donald.
Haters
going to
hate.
The closest thing I have is Doctor Strange in Spider-Man 2, where he gets his name dropped. That's it.
Did that happen really?
Yeah, he goes like Jonah's saying like,
fuck, and they said, Doctor Strange, that's good.
But it's taken. I was like,
oh, right. Yeah. I forgot about that.
I don't forget shit like that.
Anyway, as far as Viggo Mortensen goes, I mean, he's not a terrible actor. I far from hate him. I actually do kind of like him. He's a pretty good actor when the material is good. That said, I would have gone with someone a bit more exotic like Odin Fair, but that's just me. He's my personal favorite pick for Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
But as far as Viggo Mortensen goes, I don't hate the pick at all. I could definitely see him as kind of a Doctor Strange-esque if done right. So I give my thumbs up to this little tidbit. If it pans out to be true, I would look forward to it because despite my criticism, I am a Doctor Strange fan somewhat. So to see some of the second-tier magical characters actually get some attention, you know, that could be something good.
You want to see Dr. Voodoo on there.
Doctor Strange
is second-tier.
Fuck
yeah, I do. I want Brother Voodoo in the fucking movie, you understand? You understand?
He can be Doctor Strange. He can be Wong.
Oh God, I hated Wong.
What's wrong?
Who wants to bet whether we'll see a Wong? I'm saying it won't happen.
He won't. If he will be, he won't be Chinese.
It should be BD Wong.
He'll probably be white and named Wong
from Law and Order. It'd be perfect. He doesn't even have to change it.
<Yeah. laughs> If they make Odin Wong, I'm gonna flip my shit.
Short.
There's gonna be a fat black guy named Wong.
Wong, you are.
You are Wong.
Oh, God. He'll probably end up being like an elf or something, for God's sakes.
Oh, God.
So, yeah, thumbs up from me. Oh, yeah.
All right, Arno, what do you think about these rumors?
Rumor aside, as we said, it's rumor, so who knows if there's any truth to it. But if there is, I think it'd be cool. I know it's easy to tie characters like that together in the comics. I'm just intrigued to see how they would have those two meeting up and... Like you were saying, I doubt it highly that Stephen Strange is actually going to be, you know, Dr. Stephen Strange, Sorcerer Supreme. Although, again, it would be equally cool if we got that, because that'd be awesome. But I do. If he does show up in it, unless it's like a teaser after the credits or some shit like that, for whatever reason, I'm curious as to how those two characters would tie together. But hey, it's a step in the right direction. We're totally... trying to get more characters out there, and if it's putting them in cameos in other movies just to gauge interest, I think that works well. You know, I mean, they've done it a little bit with all the other Marvel cinematic movies, you know, dropping little teases and hints and stuff like that for characters. So I think it could be cool, and I'm all about seeing more characters in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, so any way that can happen, great, as long as it's not, you know, cheesy or heavy-handed, you know, or just thrown in there for the sake of throwing it in there. I'm talking about you, Gambit, in Wolverine Origins.
That's what I don't
He was there for 10 minutes and then never mentioned again.
I don't mention Strange in the movie just so that they can say, oh, Doctor Strange was in this movie and he'd be fucking pointless, because then I'd rather he just not be in it at all.
Mm-hmm.
For Viggo Mortensen as the cast pick, I think it could be great. Like most people, I'm sure, once you mention Viggo Mortensen, you automatically think Aragorn and like that kind of look, which if you've seen A History of Violence, he does clean up really well. I think he's a good actor for the role, depending on how they take it. I think he'd be more of a kind of gruff Doctor Strange. I don't want to say, for lack of a better term, like bitter.
He's rugged and handsome.
I mean, Doctor Strange was a ladies' man. I mean, he would, all intents and purposes, he's a mystical Tony Stark.
I was just about to say, from what I hear back in the day, he used to be on par with Tony with womanizing, so, which it really never gets touched on anymore. You don't, at least... I haven't in the books that I've seen Doctor Strange in. But it could be cool. I'm all for it.
All right. Taser, what do you think?
I got to go with... I mostly share the opinion of Fearless. He wouldn't be my first choice. The man's a capable actor. I do think he could pull it off, but I don't look at him and see Strange. What?
I said Oded Furr. He's perfect.
Liam Neeson.
Liam Neeson's, you know what, I gotta say this, and it's gonna, it kinda pisses me off, but I do feel it. Liam Neeson's just a little too old. I don't see, a Doctor Strange. Doctor Strange was a man who was at the top of his game, he was coveted, he was getting accolades all over the place, he was living the life of Riley. You know, and then he had his accident, and then shit went to hell. I don't get the idea that, you know, Doctor Strange wasn't that old.
No, you're right.
Liam Neeson's an older, is an older man. He would be Doctor Strange after about 20, 30 years. You know what I'm saying?
But he's a more seasoned Strange.
Exactly. Now, Viggo Mortensen, looking at his face, he's a little bit older than I would put him too. You know? See, that's the thing with Strange. Strange was somebody who was living the life, you know? Yeah. And then had his shit taken from him by losing the ability to sense with his hands. You know, you would have to do something like Chris Pine or something like that. Somebody
not...
around that group.
I know what you mean.
But I could definitely, I do think that Odette Fair or the European guy.
Viggo Mortensen.
Thank you. Sorry.
Liam Neeson and Viggo are both European, so it's like it's a crapshoot here. It's like who do I say?
I didn't mean Qui-Gon Jinn or whatever the fuck his name was. I meant Aragorn.
He's Ron anyway. Cool, dude. Come on.
Anyway, I do think that they are capable of playing the role, so I'll still say thumbs up on it. You know, I enjoy the man's work. Gay Viggo Mortensen. that's really it. You know, if that's the case, I'm all for it. You know, I just hope that I would like to see a Chinese Wong. You know, if not, then make it a black guy just so I can hear the people complain about it again.
Make him Muslim.
No. Make him a black midget. Yes. That was just make me
played by Danny DeVito, who was doing blackface.
Oh,
no, get the guy from Friday, the one who is married to Miss Harper.
Oh,
yeah. Harper? Miss Harper. I want that guy. The one from Bad Santa.
Yeah, I want him.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Tony Cox.
I want him. If it's a walk on, I don't have a problem with that. I can only say that for his first full movie, I want a hint. Not directly, but a hint of Dormammu. Like, maybe...
The Dark Dimension and stuff like that?
Yeah, exactly. Just a hint. But
I want a hint of Baron Mordo. Baron Mordo.
Mordo should be two.
The thing is, I feel like Dormammu's bigger than Mordo. Mordo should be
Mordo
one.
Mordo was his evil rival at the hospital Stephen Strange went to practice surgery.
You're right, but that's why he should be two, because you deal with the rival, and then you deal with the big baddie. The big baddie's Dormammu, you know?
Yeah, you deal with the big baddie later on, not initially.
Yeah, but I really, because I'm light on my Doctor Strange stuff, I don't really have a clue as to what he would do that first time. I don't know what...
Fight Baron Mordo or Nightmare or any other... Make him fight Damien Hellstrom or something.
No, he doesn't have to fight Damien Hellstrom. What he should do is, in order to win the title, he actually has to fight the Vishanti. He has to prove his worthiness.
That would be changing it because, I mean, he was...
We're talking Ultimate, so... You know.
Well, we don't know... The Ultimate Doctor Strange is, for all intents and purposes, the regular Doctor Strange. They never really explored it, and that the one we saw was just his son. It was the same origin. It was just basically fate guided him to Tibet to train under the Ancient One and not battle. I mean, he was always going to be the Sorcerer Supreme. That's his whole...
It's all
fate. So, to me, if you're doing it, it makes sense. Do Baron Mordo 1... do like Nightmare or Damien Hellstrom for 2, if you get that far, and then maybe, you know, if it's big enough,
where would you fit Clea into the matter? Because you know she's got to come in eventually.
She would be three. No, hint her in two. She'd die.
What if she shows up in like the second one, then brings Strange to the Dark Dimension in the third movie, like that?
Yeah, Clea. That Clea's from the Dark Dimension, so.
Exactly, that's
what I'm saying. Yeah, and that would be a full R movie because we get to see some Clea booty. Yeah.
Now, Clea would be an interesting casting. Do they go cougar with her, or do they go young girl with just gray hair?
Now, if we're going to do a decently...
I think you would need a younger actress who portrays maturity, because isn't she like supposed to be like really, really old, but she
she
looks young.
So
you would need someone who projects maturity while still looking significantly young.
They should just put the Scarlet Witch in there just for the sake of
Linda Carter! There you go! Linda Carter, damn it.
No.
Shut up, Linda Carter.
No, right. Damn
so
it.
So let's move on. I think we all have ideas and we're all relatively excited for a Doctor Strange movie. So with that, let's move on. Brian, we have some more adjective teasers.
We do. Yeah, okay. There was a new there's been a new slew of one-word teasers released over the past couple weeks or so. Slating new books for December, I believe a majority of. Yeah, December and some into January. The first one we have is Lightning with a crosshair projected over it, like with a sniper rifle, with Daniel Way and Dylan, I believe it is,
Steve
attached.
Dylan. Steve Dylan.
Yes, thank you. I couldn't think of his first name. Next one up we have is Survive with blood splattered over it, with Dennis Hopeless and, well, that's not a good sign, Dennis Hopeless and...
It's just his last name, dude.
Kev Walker. Mm-hmm.
And the last one would be?
Well, actually, this one's kind of a twofer. The one we actually have an image of is Killers with Sam Humphries and Ron Garney on the book. But now there's been a, some sort of correspondence done where they've connected this one with another one which it says Wanted on it. I don't have that one in front of me at the moment, but from what I gather, these two are connected somehow.
Yes.
So
as far as hints go as to what the titles may be, there's a theory that Lightning would be.
Let's play the guessing game.
But it's already playing the guessing game for us in the descriptions.
No, but I mean, what do we think?
Fine.
We know what Newsarama thinks, but what do we think?
Okay, what do y'all think?
All right,
Ben, you go first.
Survive is obviously Punisher. Greg Rucka's run is coming to the end, and they want a new Punisher title on it. So who else? It's either Punisher or Cable. That's the only two characters who I can think mean survive. And they use a lot of guns and blood. Lightning automatically crosshairs means thunderbolts. That just is automatically justice like lightning. And I think killers, which is makes me the most sad because that means something's coming to an end, probably means X-Force.
Yep. Way to go. You read the descriptions of the images. Bravo.
No, even before then. This is my thoughts beforehand, asshole. Mm-hmm. Fuck you. You're fired. No, I'm just saying, and the thing is...
No, I gotcha.
All, except for Thunderbolts, the Thunderbolts one, the untrue Thunderbolts one, they all pretty much say, okay, your books are... the books you love are officially ending for something new. So, yeah. I don't know. It's interesting. At least these ones are a lot more ambiguous versus the other ones that were like, oh, that's Hulk, that's Thor, that's yada yada yada. So I like that, but I don't like the idea of a new X-Force book. I don't like it. I don't want a new X-Force book. I like the X-Force book right now. So yeah, Arnold, play the guessing game.
Yours are fairly spot on. I'm pretty sure we have all the same guesses. Although I'm not gonna lie, when you see a word like survive with blood splattered over it and the names working on it are Hopeless and Walker, I automatically thought Walking Dead. Obviously, not the same department, but I was like, really? These names work too well.
They're getting into the zombie action now. It only makes sense.
It makes complete sense. Everything's hopeless. The world's running rampant with walkers. We have to survive. If this is any other company, I would have swore this is a Walking Dead teaser. But yeah, you hit it spot on. Lightning with the target could very well be Thunderbolts. I'm not reading Thunderbolts, so I wouldn't know how well it fills in. I think it's almost guaranteed. Unless we had some other teaser, I think that seemed like X-Force as well, but Killer seems fairly close to X-Force. I mean, how many people in the Marvel Universe, aside from the Thunderbolts, are really quote-unquote killers that you would focus a whole book around? So that's kind of where I'm going with that. I doubt it would be Secret Avengers, because I don't think Secret Avengers are killing anyone. And isn't that what's supposed to be ending, period, right?
What about X-Force again?
No, I was just saying with Killers, it could very well be X-Force. Obviously, the only other people I could think of that would seem like that would fit for would be Secret Avengers, but I don't think that they're killers.
They're just a covert.
Although they have killed before. They wouldn't... I don't know,
they're not just a hit squad.
Undercover. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, Killers could sort of fit with Thunderbolts if you were talking about their past. But I think you were correct.
It depends on which Thunderbolts you're talking about.
Right, this is also true.
Yeah, I mean, one group of Posey's heroes, you know.
Thunderbolts is something that doesn't cross my mind, not saying it's bad or anything, I just always forget that it exists. But yeah, I think you hit most of them spot on. At this point, I'm just waiting to see what books show up. Right now, I'm kind of going by, like, creative teams to build up excitement for what these things supposedly are, but until I hear what the actual books are, I'll see how excited the creative teams really make me in that regard. But, yeah, I think you got them all, Ben.
Brian, play the guessing game.
All right. Lightning, obviously Thunderbolts, because they pretty much flat out say it is in the description.
These are unconfirmed, though, so that's why I was
Well, saying. Yeah, they're unconfirmed, but Justice League Lightning has been their tagline for how long now? Years and years and years, so...
Yeah, but it's also crosshairs, which implies guns fired. The Thunderbolts aren't exactly killers.
Okay. It's Thunderbolts, though. Moving on from that, well, actually, stopping for a second and looking at the creative team on that book, I like Daniel Way. I don't like Steve Dillon. His art is awful.
No.
Don't even get me started.
No, it's great.
It's not.
It's fantastic.
Terrible.
It's fantastic cartooning. That's what it is.
It's ill.
Did you not read Preacher or what he and Garth Ennis did on Punisher? It's great.
No, it's no, awesome. I haven't read it. But I have read his other crap. So you know what? Blow me. Moving on from that, Dennis Hopeless and this fellow, what do you call him? Kev Walker, Survive. I guess it's Punisher. I could see it. There's not a whole lot of conjecture on this one.
Cable. It's fucking Cable.
Hopeless, I don't really have a lot of experience with either one of those two, so that could be just that, whatever it is. Now, as I was saying on the Killers matter, there was a theory that since the two are connected and Killers might be X-Force, there was a theory that Wanted would be Cable and the two would be linked.
Why would Cable be wanted, though? That makes no sense. What the fuck did he do this time?
I don't know.
Let's find out.
Survive makes much more... Wanted makes more sense for Punisher versus Survive makes more sense for Cable.
So then what the hell would Killers turn out to be?
X-Force.
So Punisher and X-Force are linked?
We saw the future.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, gotcha.
Oh, Rick Remender, I love you.
I don't know, this is totally connecting shit that isn't there, but that would be cool.
That would be cool. Regardless, I do believe that Killers is X-Force. It makes sense. They would push this. Sam Humphries, his Ultimate stuff isn't terrible. I've been reading a little bit of it since Hickman jumped off and he covered for him. Ron Gurney, I feel like I've seen his artwork before somewhere. I just can't place where for the life of me. If someone could throw me a bone here and just say, like, oh, he did this, that would be cool. I don't know. So... it's looking pretty decent so far for this, second wave, I guess you would call it. I will be waiting to see, like, the actual press releases and stuff, though, because this is just, guessing is not fun. I don't like this.
When Solicits come out in, like, a few weeks, we'll officially know.
Yeah, that's true.
Unless they decide to remain anonymous.
So, up until this point, I'm pretty good. I'm pretty set in Lightning being Thunderbolts and, you know, Killers being X-Force. But Wanted and Survivor kind of left more out in the open, so we'll have to see about that. That said, I'm not really sure what to think of this because I'm not crazy about the reboot to begin with, as most of you can already tell.
It's not a reboot, though. I don't know why.
You're right. Right. It's a revamp. Excuse me.
It's a relaunch. It's a relaunch, if anything else, because they're relaunching a bunch of titles.
Don't call it a relaunch.
It's been here for years.
Oh, we should do that. Okay. So it's awesome. It's good that at least they're putting out more books, more variety, so we'll see what happens when the solicits come out.
Yeah, and when they're all canceled, issue 6, we'll know fucking why. All right, Taser, do you
Yeah, how's Defenders doing?
Shut up.
You know better than that to ask me.
Taser, ladies and gentlemen, if you're new to the show, Taser doesn't really issue it. Moving on!
Taser!
Obviously, was it 3 weeks ago? About a month ago, we learned that the X-Men First Class sequel will be called Days of Future Past. Apparently, Brian, the Wolverine movie may connect to this.
Yeah, there was originally an interview with Hugh Jackman who claimed that the Wolverine, the sequel to X-Men Origins Wolverine from a few years back, would be a standalone movie and wouldn't be overloaded with as many mutants as past X-Men movies have been.
However, that seems not to be the case anymore.
Yes, all two of them.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, those movies are a mess. Anyway, the thing that we're looking at now is that we could be crossing over the Wolverine with Days of Future Past, which, for those of you who don't know, is the sequel to X-Men First Class, the very well-done X-Men movie put out, I believe it was a year ago now? 2 years ago? Something like that? That said,
11? That was 11, wasn't it?
Yeah. Okay, yeah, so that was last year then. Okay, thank you. So that said, there were some set images released that detailed the floor of the Jean Grey School for Higher Learning, which possibly alludes to Wolverine's current status in the Marvel Universe right now, where he in fact runs the Jean Grey School for Higher Learning, a stand-in for the Xavier School. I don't know if we're going to be seeing Wolverine in the apocalyptic timeline slashing Sentinels up with his claws, but this is what we have for right now as far as theory goes. So take it away, Ben. Tell us what you think.
This is obviously in a response to Marvel Cinematic Shared Universe. They want to have it. They want to have it too. I don't know. I kind of like the idea that the Wolverine movie was gonna be a standalone piece that was just Wolverine being badass. You don't need it to connect to the X-Men First Class sequel, or X-Men Days of Future Past. I don't know, and I find it weird that they're using the Jean Grey of Higher Learning. I don't know why. Like, I really love Wolverine the X-Men title, but I figured just why not? I mean, we know what it is, but I mean, why not just use Xavier's Mansion?
No one who doesn't read comics is going to know what the hell that is. They're going to be like, I thought it was Xavier's school.
They could explain it that, you know, obviously people who've seen the movies know that he's in love with Jean Grey. So, like, they could explain it. Oh, he loved her so much, they named the school after her. Or maybe they renamed the school after her, some shit like that.
Right. Well, they pretty much did that in the comics anyway. So
yeah.
Didn't they do that at the end of the movie?
No, they never.
It was still the Xavier school.
It's still Xavier. Okay. Yeah, they couldn't have because the Jean Grey Institute for Higher Learning didn't exist yet. I don't know. It's just. I figured, why not just call it Xavier's Institute for Gifted Youngsters? You know, I don't hate it. I mean, I just don't see the reason why to change it to it for the current thing. Why not?
She died in the last movie, and if it's Wolverine who's going to be running shit, you know he's going to name it after Jean.
That could make sense.
Charles. They're both dead anyway, but I mean, if you're out of the two people, who's Wolverine going to pick first?
Honestly? Well, technically Xavier isn't dead because he's in that guy's body.
But do they know that?
And he's like, what the fuck is this shit? Back on this damn school. That's what'll happen. He'll just wake up and be like, bitch, this is my school. My house.
I don't know. I just want to see Hugh Jackman play Wolverine again, but I don't know. It's just I just find it weird to like need to tie it in together, which you know that's just especially when the rumors that they're going to be showing up in X-Men Days of Future Past as well. I don't know. Interesting, and they had set like there's pictures of it where the set is built, which is also interesting. I don't know. I'm actually perplexed at this. I really wanted Wolverine in Japan being a badass.
But there's nothing saying that
but I'd rather the movie focus on that.
But they've been telling you left and right that it's taking place in Japan.
But I'd rather not have any of the focus be like tying into another movie.
It'll probably happen at the end, if anything.
I guess.
You know, it's going to jump into the future or be present time. Do we even know if this takes place before the X-Men movies?
We don't know. Do we? I don't know.
If Wolverine,
we're not given a specific time frame between Wolverine and the X-Men first.
Because the fucking set designer on Wolverine, X-Men Origins Wolverine, didn't decide is it 1975 or 1991.
Right, yeah. So I guess he did kind of leave it open-ended. Because, yeah, that's what I'm wondering, too. Is it picking up after, even though they're trying to distance themselves?
After he tells them to go fuck themselves?
Does it pick up after Wolverine Origins, or does it pick up after X-Men 3?
Well, the school thing has to take place after X-Men 3.
Right.
Why does it have to?
Because he doesn't become part of the X-Men till, like, he doesn't... Why would he name it during his adventures?
He doesn't become a permanent member until the second movie, I think.
Yeah.
If that really is the Jean Grey Institute, technically he wouldn't be able to name it that before he meets Jean Grey. So it would have to take place at least after X-Men 1.
Yeah.
That's if they wanted it to make sense.
Well, oh.
Fox isn't that
touché, sir.
Fox just saying. You know. Just saying. I mean, put it to you this way. Don't you think if First Class was supposed to tie into the other X-Men movies as well as Wolverine, then don't you think that Logan would have remembered Professor X? I'm just saying.
Well without my doubt, that dude's been
great. That's like everything going on
in the
comic books, too. The amount of times that Wolverine and Professor X have intermingled, and it still doesn't seem like it seems like they've only met each other for the first time when he joined the X-Men.
Plus, he had his memories erased, and odds are he had his memories wiped after several years after he met him. So even if
he got shot in the head, and that did some damage. But
no. I'm saying his
scent is tied to memory.
I would think that it's a decent period of time after he told him to fuck off versus years later he meets him again. That's a long time. Like, and he doesn't even look the same. He's not in a wheelchair.
He may not look the same, but it's not like, unless he started using Ben Gay and shit, it's not like, I don't think your scent
changed. He's older. I mean, he's an older person when he meets him, so he can smell.
And the question is, in regards to Taser, whether or not why he doesn't know Xavier, my next question is the meeting in the bar for that half a second in Wolverine.
I don't even think he looked at
that. Is that pre-adamantium or post-adamantium?
I think that was pre- If they're going
given
off
his
the
attitude,
movie,
I'm likely to think
not
otherwise.
Or if you want to go by comics, is this before or after Wolverine created the Weapon X program?
Continuity is blowing my brains out, man. I can't see it. The walls are closing in. I did it. I buried him under the floorboards. Just for God's sake, stop.
Horrible writing.
Not necessarily. I think going not on X-Men Origins Wolverine, but just going off X-Men 1, I think.
It's all mixed up.
He doesn't know. He doesn't know them. He probably just forgot. Like you meet a lot of people. You meet them for a couple of seconds. You're not going to remember them 30, 40 years down the line.
No. But that's if you're going again. That's if you're going off pure D memory. We're talking scent.
He would smell. I would think older Xavier smells different than younger Xavier.
Why? Because he's old?
The
only thing that changes, with humans is the type of deodorant and you know, other shit that we use
your
in regards to hygiene.
Stays the same.
Exactly. That's how dogs track people. Because your scent.
Maybe he was subconsciously blocking it. I don't know.
Nah, it's just a stupid idea, and it was done to make people go, ooh, ah, woo, and all of that other shit.
I thought it was a fun cameo.
It was a fun cameo, but I'm just saying, stuff like that is like, it's problematical when you try to do stuff later on, because like, well, they met him over here, you mean to tell me he doesn't remember, you know what I'm saying?
I don't know.
Okay, and I'll admit, from the jump, this is me being a fanboy, okay, I'm nitpicking, alright, but I would rather, like somebody else had said, I would rather this just have been him in Tokyo kicking ass, no attachment to the school, before he comes back and he's doing whatever. This is him, you know, defining himself and getting caught up in some bullshit. I wish it was just that simple, but it doesn't look like Fox is going to let it be so. They're going to screw it up.
What was your first clue, buddy?
X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Although, you know what? Maybe they learned First Class. Maybe somebody caught a clue. You know?
They do it right.
I can only hope and pray.
Hey, we all dogged on X-Men First Class. I have to bring that up.
Nobody did it more than I did, and nobody was as surprised as I was when I enjoyed that shit as much as I did.
All right. Well, do we have any more thoughts before we move on, guys? Or is that it, pretty much?
Yes, right here.
Brian, what do you think?
I honestly don't see the point in this little crossover. I mean, like you said, we've been told over and over again he's in Japan, and now all of a sudden, how are they going to take him from point A, which is Japan samurai fighting, or kung fu fighting, whatever, to point B, which is time travel? It just strikes me a little odd how they're going to try and pull this off. So, suffice to say, I will be intrigued to see how they manage to pull this off, or how the X-Men will be involved, and from First Class, and vice versa. So we'll see.
All right. Well, there you go. Sif is hot. So
hells yeah.
Now that's all the news we have for today. No book of the week this week. I will have to say I don't. Before we move on to the interviews,
free balling it.
I am free of Amazing Spider-Man. I don't know what the alpha is officially dead to me. Fuck that guy.
He's lost. He's lost without Spider-Man.
I had a little withdrawal Wednesday when I got home. Like, what do I do now? What do I do now? Anyways, time for individual reviews, and let's go to Taser first with the funny with AVX versus 5.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, basically, this is another twofer. It's a bit of guerrilla war, you know, between Hawkeye and Angel. And the second piece, which was really the one that I... Only reason why I picked up this was for that one between Storm and T'Challa. First one is, you know, Hawkeye doing a whole lot of running around, you know, freaking... I'm guessing this is Angel post death and mind wipe, whatever, because
yeah,
he was
post
acting
death
a little,
and resurrection.
Yeah, okay.
He's all shiny.
And, you know, I wasn't reading a lot of this, but, you know, art... Wasn't this, what's his name? You? I think this is,
No, not me, you.
Not Leno?
Leno, yep.
Oh, no, yeah, it is. Okay, I thought so. Because I didn't pay attention, but, you know, the art looked familiar. It's a serviceable story, you know. It's got, hey, I've got the drop on you. No, because you're a stupid, you know, just an archer. You're no good. And, you know, people tend to forget, and the writers do this intentionally, Hawkeye's capable. You know, I don't know why people consistently have a low opinion of the guy. I mean, Grant, yeah, okay, fine, arrows. But still, he's a guy who can hang... And he's using arrows. And he's run two teams. And he's been, I can't say a whole lot for Thunderbolts, but he was actually pretty good in West Coast Avengers. So I don't know why he doesn't get the status and respect that he deserves. But, yeah, he takes down Warren, you know. I mean, he, you know, does what he has to do, you know, and thumbs up. And then, of course... When Psylocke shows up, yeah, he wasn't going to beat the two of them. It's just no freaking way. But, you know, he manages to pull a getaway. And that's really the only way that could have happened. And it, as a story, okay, yeah, you won one. You make somebody care and look the other way. And then he hauls ass out of there. Okay, fine. That's how that one was going to end. Now, the second story. Storm versus Black Panther.
Oh, damn.
Did this take place in court?
Every divorce couple's fantasy.
And of course, Storm was going to go with her big gun, the lightning. And of course, Black Lightning... Hello.
Hold on a second. I think you got that mixed up a little bit.
Yeah, they're all tails sound alike. You know. No, and of course her husband was going to have something that, you know, prepared him against that, you know, which she totally burned out. And then he rendered her unable to do a lot of her stuff, so it became a mano-a-mano fight. Now, right then and there, this should have been a done deal. Storm versus Black Panther in a hand-to-hand fight? Fuck out of here. I've seen Storm do, you know, fight very well. She did it. Had a great fight against Callisto, who's actually, her martial arts abilities actually lent towards fighting, you know, like stronger, faster, and everything else, and she managed to beat her. Yeah, okay, yeah, that's Callisto. But this is Black Panther, okay, who's quite a few notches above her. And they actually let Storm do pretty good against him. I'm stunned. He catches her in a full Nelson. The man's stronger than her. He catches her in a full Nelson, and she somehow manages to headbutt his nose, and you know, I'm looking at this. Not only does she headbutt him, but it sends him flying. Like, my God, oh my, you know, you just knew that it was she wasn't going to get brutalized. Okay, let's play it out there. She's a woman who was fighting a man who divorced her, and a man who physically should have dominated. I'm not even just saying that because he's a man, but he should have dominated her. And she just wasn't going to get hurt. But, of course, you know, they had to, before, you know, he would have, you know, done something that would have ended the fight. No, they had to have that whole sappy kiss bullshit, whatever. And then she, you know, lands one final hit with the ring. And I'm just sitting here. And, you know, my roommate and I talked about this. And you know, it was like, well, yeah, that fight wasn't really going to end any other way. You know, you kind of had to have him down because there's just no way. They wouldn't have been able to tell this story with Aurora on the ground and Black Panther standing over her. You know, because then it would have just been like, oh, look, another black man beating on his bitch. You know, you would have just had that. And, yeah, this was a no-win, you know, no winners here. Yeah, fucking horrible story. Horrible story is horrible. This is bad writing.
But hey, at least Storm is a strong, independent woman who don't need no man.
Yeah, okay, yeah, she could, Storm can suck my dick. All right, there you go.
Well, she's free now, so.
And she was
you got a chance.
Before. But look here. To that crazy chick over there, who was it? A Comic Vine or Newsarama who, you know, tried to blame all of this on T'Challa? You're fucking crazy. All right, that's right.
Babs.
I'm saying.
Babs Lima, I think it is.
Yeah, Babs start Lima. Start a well done
war.
Article.
Yeah, start a war. Don't start a war.
Bring it on, Comic Vine. Let's do it.
That's right.
Stop getting shit, Brian. God damn it.
Okay. Hey, I went and found Taz Mission and
you can edit this shit out in post-production. He's coming down.
You're not the one who has to fucking be the PR guy over here.
But any PR is good PR.
I would be the best PR guy you would ever imagine.
You would drive us into the ground. Continue, Taser.
I thought Kuhan was our PR guy.
Fuck that guy.
Hey, well, you can.
What the fuck is Kuhan?
You know, it's up to you. But anyway, I just kind of looked at this fight and I went, I knew how it was going to end. You know, the fact that they did, you know, that one run at each other and then they ended up in a kissing embrace and then I knew exactly what was going to happen. And then they both walked away for all intents and purposes. There was no surprises here. So, yes, I'm going to hate this. I read it to see if it would be anything different, and no, it wasn't. So I wasn't surprised, and because I wasn't surprised, I was disappointed. You know? The dialogue was typical. The art was, I give the art a 1.3, you know? It wasn't great. It was kind of stilted, really. You know? I can't even say I'm glad that they're divorced, you know, or that this marriage is over because it was, in the long run, after that first year or two, and, you know, once, you know, Black Panther no longer had a book, what did it matter to anything? You know, they were married. They had no kids. If they'd have gotten her knocked up, then that would have been something. But no, they didn't do that. And, you know, this will be the biggest, what do you call it? Victim to Avengers versus X-Men. This right here, their marriage. Because nothing else is really gonna, you know, have any big, great weight in the future beyond a couple of X-Men being on the Avengers and probably vice versa. That's it. That's what comes out of this. This right here, this is the big sacrifice. This is the big tragedy. T'Challa and, you know, Storm broken up. And even bigger than this is the fact that I had to read this fucking story. So I'm giving this book a 1.2 out of 5 for a stupid ass story, at least in the second part. And I say if you pick this up, pick it up for the first one. The Clint Angel story was actually a lot better. This was just I'm done before I start cursing again.
All right, let's go to Brian, who's shooting straight with Hawkeye, number 2, Glorious David Aja.
Oh yes, oh yes. So the story is a bit more straightforward than what we got in the first issue.
It's a one-shot again.
Pretty much, yeah, although it sets up for a much bigger premise. Essentially what we get here is Hawkeye and Hawkeye, for those of you who don't know, that's Clint Barton and Kate Bishop, they decide to crash a little, swanky little gig happening in New York City where the who's of baddies will be, because Clint thinks that something is going down there, or something is going to happen. So what we get is pretty much them hanging out in a ballroom or whatever, getting ready for some big, like, Cirque du Soleil type thing. And pretty much you're showing flashes that just everyone is there. Like the Owl, Hammerhead, Tombstone, Madam Mask, Kingpin, they're all there. You know, they're all there to take in the show that's happening. And as soon as the curtain opens, Hawkeye IDs the guy at the front of things, the Ringmaster, who's leading the show. And then there is a another character whose name escapes me. I'm not sure if it's mentioned right now. But he is a student of the original Swordsman. Apparently Hawkeye is...
Yeah, to train Clint Barton.
Yeah, who trained Clint Barton as well. And pretty much Clint figures out almost right away that this is a robbery. They're thieves. This is going down right now, whatever the hell this is. And he begins to realize that Ringmaster's whole bit right now is hypnotizing the audience so they can be robbed blind from their rooms and get like their wallets and jewelry off the person. So Kate and Hawkeye go searching for him. Hawkeye gets the shit kicked out of him. Kate is the smart one here, actually dresses up as one of them and infiltrates them. And what we get is essentially Swordsman student sentencing Clint Barton to die. You know, he'll be taken out into the water, shot twice in the head, weighted down and sunk. And before they can do any of that, Kate Bishop takes a bow and arrow to him and lays a shit ton of people out. There's some fancy shooting going down. Whole bunch of, action, you know. Eventually we get to a point where the Swordsman's student comes to confront Clint Barton. And what Clint Barton does is essentially nicks him in the side of his head. But the arrow rebounds off the wall at an angle, comes back down, and the weighted end hits him at pretty much the base of his neck and his skull. And he just kind of drops. And that being said, we also get a pretty awesome scene of Kate Bishop holding what appears to be 5 arrows on one bow and taking out, like, 3 dudes at once. Nail them all in the eyes. So, go Kate. But the fallout from this, and what you should really take away from this, is that in order to get away from the scene, Clint and Kate hop on the boat the thieves were stealing, loaded up with all the goods, and get away. Simultaneously making it believe all the villains believing that Clint Barton has just robbed them and pissing every single one of them off. So basically Clint is just kind of sitting on a whole bunch of dirty money right now, unsure of what he's going to do. He calls Kate and she pretty much agrees, hey, whatever you're about to do, you know, I'm in, I'll help you out. So he's got help and he plans to pretty much just kind of go do his thing, like a Robin Hood type deal, you know, save the world, clean everything up a little bit. And we get a much broader scope of what Clint hopes to do outside of being your typical Avenger and stuff. He pretty much has his sights set to just, if trouble comes along or if he goes and finds it, he'll clean it up right there. He's not going to question it. So it really is setting up for a much bigger look at the world and what Hawkeye's role in it is. Fraction storytelling, of course, is up to par. You know, I really like it. I miss him on Iron Fist. It's very reminiscent of that. But it's also, it's got its own flavor to it, so there's that.
It is Iron Fist, but it's not Iron Fist.
Pretty much, yeah. And David Aja, of course, is just, oh, he's so good.
You know what,
somebody
said this on either it was on Twitter or another website, and I have to completely agree, and I would give credit to that website, but I can't think of it right now. But David Aja is the successor to David Mazzucchelli in terms of style like that. If you look at...
I would actually agree with that. I've seen some of the David Mazzucchelli's art, and
look at Batman Year One, and then look at Hawkeye. It's very, very similar.
I know. It's very, very reminiscent. Especially, I want to give credit to one scene in particular, which is pretty early on. It's pretty much Clint and Kate just bullshitting around in Hawkeye's apartment, and he's getting ready to line up a shot. And there's a one scene where he's describing the process of what it is to actually take the arrow, pull back, and shoot.
No. Wait a minute, one question. Does she have clothes on and clothes off when he's lining up the shot?
He's not sleeping with her at Thatcher yet. He makes it clear twice that he's not going to sleep with her.
I don't think, you know, sleeping has anything to do with it. I'm just...
Well, no, but he's like...
sex with her.
He's pretty much old enough to be her father.
He's not giving her his special loaded weapon?
He's not giving her the boxing glove arrow. No, he's not.
He's with Spider-Woman. Why does he need a preaching? He's got
That's true. He has Jessica Drew.
He could be taking a break.
He has a woman. He doesn't need a girl. He has a woman, you know?
Yeah, okay, but she could, but, you know, be somebody to
Taser,
practice.
Shut up.
Stop trying to make him a pedophile. Jesus.
Jesus. Okay, back to what I was saying early in the issue. Kate and Hawkeye are just bullshitting. He's training for a shot, and as he's lining up explaining the process, there's one scene where David Aja literally goes through every face of Kate Bishop as she says something and puts it to frame, like every single letter as she says.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, and he slows it down almost like a slowing time effect, and it's all spread out, and it's just beautiful the way. I had to, like, stop for a second, like, wait, what's he doing? Then I looked, and I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool. So, and then one other thing I just realized is flipping through the issue. The newspaper clipping before Kate and Clint go into the party actually has the name of the storyline and, like, the credits for Matt Fraction on the newspaper clipping, which I thought was kind of neat. So, you know, you definitely get a sense that Hawkeye is lined up for something big, and storytelling and art don't disappoint. I give the book a 4.5 out of 5. The only thing is, Fraction's banter with his characters can kind of come off as a little bit stilted or forced sometimes. It's not an issue all throughout, but it has its moments where it's kind of like, well, that's kind of weird. Why would he put that there? So, you know, it does have its moments where it's kind of like, oh, okay. But then it's right back to great, great dialogue and inner monologue, great artwork. And, you know, the plot all around was just really, really enjoyable. And it really sets you up for some great stories later on. Because it could pretty much be anything. Hawkeye literally has no bounds at the end of this book. He just has a whole world map where he's like, okay, what do I want to do first? So it's literally setting us up for a bunch of great stories. I hope from Fraction Naja. I hope it keeps going to a decent number. And I just... I want issue 3 now. Is that okay?
It's gorgeous, and the story is competent.
So good.
You miss number 1, you just buy number 2 and go from there. You don't have to start.
Bro, how could you miss number 1, bro?
Bro. All right. Let's go next to Arnold, who's giving us our Miles Morales update. Arnold.
Trying to say we all look alike? Huh?
Huh? What do you mean, you people?
Wait, what do you mean, you people?
So Ultimate Comics Spider-Man number 14. Excuse me. The majority of this issue was very much Bendis doing his character moments. This is essentially a conversation. It's picking up right with the conversation or from the last time Cap showed up at the, I think it was a warehouse of some sort. Yeah, a warehouse where Miles Morales has met up with Gwen and Aunt May. So they're having their whole conversation, and Aunt May finally wanted to meet him officially, et cetera, et cetera. And Cap had shown up and was pretty much telling Miles, like he's been for a while now, that, or like he's been saying to Nick Fury, you're too young, you're not doing this, I'm putting you on the sidelines, I'm doing this for your own good, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And Aunt May and Gwen kind of both call him out on it, and it's like, oh, we know what you're doing. Like, you feel that you failed with Peter Parker, and now to prevent the same thing from happening with this kid, you're kind of just putting him on the sidelines so he doesn't put himself in harm's way. But at the end of the day, it's really kind of just so you can feel better about yourself and not putting another kid in harm's way. You know, they try to come up with all the reasons. Oh, you could train him, this, that, and the other thing, and he's just not about it. So he gets pretty much leaves because he gets a call to go and help one of a bridge or something that's been blown up or shit's going down by the Rhino downtown in the city. And he runs off and leaves, but essentially tells Miles Morales, that's it, hang up the costume, you're done. If I see you around in this, you're arrested, et cetera, and all the rest. So he's kind of disheartened about it, and he leaves, and he's talking to Aunt May, and she essentially says, or gives him kind of the nudge to say, go after him, you know, go be the hero that we know you can be. And she hands him a box, which I kind of saw coming, and I think most of us did. She hands him a box and essentially says, well, if you're going to be Spider-Man, I think Peter would want you to have these. And she hands him a box of Peter's web shooters and a bunch of the web fluid. which I thought was really nice. It's kind of, you know, Aunt May giving her blessing, etc. It was a nice way to do it, you know. And I'm glad.
Are you sure this is Web Flu and Aunt May?
I'm glad that they're keeping the characters somewhat involved, and it wasn't just, you know, because Peter's gone, now the majority of his supporting cast has to disappear too. I do like how that works. MJ even showed up. Gwen called her, and she was like, no, I thought you would have wanted to meet Miles. And it was a nice meeting, a nice good character moment. So he runs off and starts kind of testing out the web shooters and getting the hang of it, like most of anybody that's ever been Spider-Man has attempted to do, to much hilarity and crashing into stuff and almost dropping people in the head as he's flying, speeding up from the height of a building, picking up force. It was good times. So he shows up, helps to take down Rhino, officially calls his Spider Stinger the Spider Stinger, even though we've all been calling it that pretty much since like issue 2. And at the end of the fight and him knocking out Rhino, Captain America just looks at him and all he says is, all right, but you need training. So from here, it seems that Miles may start getting some proper hardcore training from Cap. And, and Miles kind of asks, are you going to train me? So I wonder if it's going to be Cap proper. I kind of hope it will be, because I think that dynamic will work really well, and I'm intrigued to see. Because Cap in this, I'm not sure how well his personality differs from him in the Ultimates. I remember Ultimate Captain America being a fucking asshole. You know, he was great. I love the radio, but he was kind of a dick. I don't get that vibe here so much. It's a little bit, but I see where it's coming from in this book, so I don't know how much the...
Maybe when you see Spider-Man, he feels bad for what happened. Who knows?
Yeah, well, that's essentially what he got called out on. He does feel bad, because remember, the last time before Cap quit the Avengers, one of the last things we had seen him do was get bitched out by Aunt May at Peter Parker's funeral. And he left after that, and shortly after that, he quit the Ultimates and then recently came back. Ben, you probably know more about that than I do.
I'm not reading the Ultimate line. It's just...
Oh, period. Okay.
Yeah, cool. It got $3.99 a title, 3 books. There's other books that I want to read.
I hear you. But it was good. I liked it. I like what it set up for the future. The art was good. This was Marquez, who might be a fill-in. This is David Marquez. I think he's been doing it for a while, actually.
Austin, Texas local, by the way. I want to say that.
And this somehow still fits into the whole divided we fall stuff. I think
real quick. I hate to interrupt. Yeah. Why the fuck is Texas seceded in this divided we fall storyline?
I think that's where shit went down the most.
Oh, my God. It pisses me off so much.
Not to mention it's got a whole bunch of nukes in it now. And sentinels and et cetera. So,
of course,
I don't think it's the people of Texas necessarily that seceded. I think it's all the sentinels and people that took over and then caused the secession. I don't think it was like the government, you know, whatever the current.
It couldn't have been South Carolina. Those fuckers like to secede.
Hey, well, that's where shit went down. But I like what Texas. This sets up for the future. I want to see what kind of training's going down. I remember they tried to touch on it a little bit. They even tried to do it somewhere with Peter Parker, and it kind of never went anywhere with Peter and Tony Stark. So it'll be fun. I'm also intrigued to see Miles and possibly his friend Genki try and figure out how to make more web fluid. Like, it's one thing to have it, but what happens when you run out? Like, it's not like you can just go to the store and buy more web fluid. And he's pretty smart, but I don't think he's anywhere near as smart as Peter Parker, because he's just essentially in high school, maybe even grade school. It's kind of a boarding school that he's in, but he's young. He's 12, 13, so at most, if you want to push it just because he's of a higher level of intellect, he's probably a freshman in high school at best. But I liked it. All in all, I will give it a 3.5 out of 5.
Yeah, I see the Ultimate books, and they look interesting, but, like, you know, $3.99 a title. I was reading two of them, but they just lost interest.
I'm still only reading two, and it's Spider-Man and X-Men, which have been consistently the only two Ultimate books I've always read. I don't think I've ever dropped either one of them. Maybe Ultimate X-Men for a little bit, but I've never dropped Ultimate Comics Spider-Man, and it's still took a bit of time.
And I wanted to like Ultimate Spider-Man, but, like, not having Pacelli on there really hurt it for me, and I heard Marquez drawing like Pacelli, I'm like, fuck, no, I wish I didn't drop it.
Yeah, the art in this one is definitely much better and back to where it was originally with Sarah Pacelli, who maybe if we're lucky when she's done with Spider-Man and she's not doing anything else, maybe she'll hopefully come back on the book, because I know she was pulled off of this to do Spider-Man.
So
here's hoping once, and it's only got, what, one more issue left, so it's probably in the can and done already. Yeah. So here's hoping we get her back, because I would really love her to be one of, I wouldn't mind having her have the same amount of issues with Bendis that him and Bagley had.
That'd be nice. Although Bagley was a fucking machine, though. That guy was ridiculous.
I would love it. It's probably incredibly unrealistic, although I don't know what else Sarah Pacelli has in her pipeline or whatever work she's got going on aside from the Ultimate work. But yeah, it was good times. I would say at least, Ben, if you get the chance, I know the money, trust me,
I'm going to buy the second trade eventually. I have the first arc, and then I just like, okay, maybe it's time to – Sarah Pacelli was coming back, so I dropped off.
Right.
So I'll definitely buy at least the second trade to see if
you
I like it.
You're going to have to tough it out for like three or so issues because of the arc shift and how jarring and just drastic it was. Just like,
oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Stop with Sarah Pacelli and then a brand new guy who was so far off from what she was doing that it really was jarring.
Exactly.
So I totally understand. But even if you don't pick up trades or whatever the case may be, I would say at least three in the store. I don't, you know. It promotes stealing.
I want a Spider-Man book somehow since I'm not reading Amazing. So, all right. Well, that's a nice review. Next up, I am reviewing Defenders number 10. This is two issues away from the conclusion of the series. It's being canceled because you fucktards don't buy good books. Not you three, but the comic audience in general.
Wait, Defenders is a good book?
You need to
hold on
paying
a second.
All right, so basically, at the end of last issue, they escaped 1969 with Nick Fury intact, away from Hydra and the Hydra Horde, and now they have returned to our current Earth, which is now being running rampant by a Death Celestial. It's just literally fucking wrecking everything. The Defenders are surviving they have been shrunk down like Ant-Man, and they're basically trying to stay alive and how to counteract this. Meanwhile, Silver Surfer did not go with them from 1969 to our current time, but is somewhere in the middle of space, literally trying to ride away something that's literally existing everything in its path. It's just a beam of sort of light, not even light. It's just white. That's just wiping everything away. And Silver Surfer's trying to get away, and there's a there's a nice one page of Silver Surfer being wiped away from existence, and he meets these people in armor and sort of weird things, and you think, oh, maybe Silver Surfer's bite the bucket, so it's like, am I dead? And he says, no, in your words, we might be called God. The fuck does that mean? So, meanwhile, you have the defenders on Earth trying to figure out what the fuck to do, and they finally reveal themselves. They grow up. They go to full size, and the Death Celestial has targeted them. Meanwhile, out of nowhere, John Amann, who has been the antagonist during the entire series, even though technically he's the good guy because he's been trying to prevent the engines from shutting down, which you're not supposed to do. Don't shut the engines down. And he's launching an attack on the Death Celestial. This is what he's been trying to prevent since they started this quest. And this is just like, I know it sounds insane because I'm describing it because you have to look at it and it's just insane. Just it's insane. It has Grant Morrison level ideas, but Bendis level straight shooting in that it's big ideas, but yet it's really just straightforward. It's not overly complicated. You can tell what's going on from panel to panel. And McKelvey is really excelling in terms of doing his action sequences. There's several instances where he shows Nick Fury drawing his gun and shooting using the passage of time to show how time passes in the comic. And, of course, there's a beautiful sequence where he uses She-Hulk going from miniature size, ant size to full-on, full-grown, to literally obliterating a crow with her fist. Like, it explodes. It's awesome. You know, this book is just so fucking fantastic. And remember these words: the universe is gonna will break, shut the engines down, everyone you love dies, fight to save everything. You know, this book, two issues away. I'm really interested to see how Fraction wraps up this. You know, it's all been building up to this. You know, a lot of people forget this is a book that spun out of Fear itself. You know, just these crazy big ideas. In fact, She-Hulk whistles Junkyard Dog. She's a Junkyard Dog in this. She kills some worms. Why isn't this book Long for This World? You know,
because magic don't sell, boy.
It's not magic. It's nothing to do with magic. It's just There's like outside.
It's Doctor Strange leading a team.
There's not even really a leader. The thing is, they're a team by circumstance. That's really what it is. In fact, the Hulk got these guys together for an entirely different purpose, and Doctor Strange has been sort of the head statesman, but by no intended purpose is he the leader. They're all kind of like, I don't know what the fuck to do. This is out of our heads. Iron Fist is sort of really puts that in perspective. Like, I don't know what the fuck to do. This is too big. You know, just all these random people come together as one. So yeah, if you skipped out on this or dropped on this, I encourage you to pick up the trade. I know the trade for the first couple issues is out. Go back and read this. This is, I don't want to say memorable, but my God, I've had so much fun reading this series. I give it a 4 out of 5. I'm gonna miss this book when it's canceled in 2 months. So there you go. That's all individual reviews, and I'm gonna go drink a beer because I'm bitter over Defenders being canceled.
Aww. Number two.
At least you have Punisher. Wait.
At least I have X-Force.
Oh, that one cut me deep too.
All right, well, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you like this episode. You can follow us at twitter.com/warriors3pcast. We're on Facebook. Arnold takes care of all that. New episode of the RPG Show should be coming this week. We're going to talk about Mario Kart and racing games.
And the death of G4.
Death of G4 and more Mr. Dragon, because we want that.
And, of course...
Yay.
Yes, and I don't know if Kuhan's uploaded it, but I know I edited it. It should be up somewhere where me, Brian, and Kuhan all sat down to talk about The Dark Knight Rises and the Batman, the Nolan trilogy, and Warner Bros. As a whole. I know I edited it. I gave it to him. He should have uploaded it by now. Not my fault anymore.
He did because he's too busy trying to do stand-up comedy.
You know, he's too busy Slacker! Watching Power Rangers. All right. 116. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you all for listening. We will see y'all next week for episode number 117.
Oh, wait, before we go.
Yes.
Before we go, the date today is Monday the 10th. New York Comic Con is swift approaching, ladies and germs. It is the weekend of October 11th through the 14th. That is a Thursday to a Sunday. It is 3.5 days. Tickets are on sale. They have been on sale. There are 4 days left to purchase your ticket online if you want them mailed to you. After that, you will either have to buy them online and wait on the really, 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 really long line just to get your ticket. One of two, because you have to wait on one to get in and one to get on that line to get your ticket, unless you go and pick them up at a comic book shop. But pick them up. They sell single days, 3 days, 4 days. Kickoff concert is being performed by Ben's Fold 5. Come check it out. Burt Ward, Adam West are going to be there. Christopher Lloyd is going to be there. Tom Cullen of Malfoy Harry Potter fame will be there. Sean Astin will be there. Anne Rice, and all of the comic book artists and writers and inkers and editors and all those guys that we love, and tons and tons and tons of swag on sale.
Anime!
And half naked girls and boys. It's fun for the whole family. If you've got kids, Kids Day is on Sunday. It is absolutely free. It really is. The Kids Day is actually one of my favorite days just in general. It's great to see all the kids around in costumes and the kids who are just marveling at costumes, because, you know, in their brain, they possibly think that they're seeing the actual character from the page, and it always puts some smiles on faces. Or even
why are there 20 Harley Quinns walking around? I thought there was only one.
Even when you get to see whole families dressed up in family costumes, like, nothing makes me happier than seeing a family of Jedi or, you know, a family of Ninja Turtles and, you know, stuff like that. But it's good time.
Kids Day was also Michael Jackson's favorite day.
Oh, that's not cool.
But yeah, guys, check it out. Taser will be there handing out free copies of Smurf Horn.
Yes, with my picture on it. Yes, with no mask on. I'll be there.
What?
Brian, you got to make the drive down for Boston.
Gosh.
If you guys come to New York Comic Con, you've got a place you can stay.
All right. Well, with that
New York Comic Con, go. It's fun. It's worth it.
If you want to come down to the great state of Texas, Austin Comic Con is towards the end of October. You can meet me.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Whoa.
Not. All right. Well, I'll tell you off the show. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we'll see y'all next week for episode number 117. Have a good day.
Yeah.